And we are back. Thanks for joining us this Saturday morning here on Investor IQ. My name is Glenn. I'm here with Rob Simon and Agnes. And before the break, we were discussing some of the features of Treasury inflation-protected securities and, in general, inflation-linked securities. And during the break, we were actually discussing the fact that there's a way to try to determine or gauge what the market consensus is for the expected level of inflation over some number of ensuing years. I think what you would do as an investor is you would take a look at traditional Treasury securities, the ones that are not linked for inflation, and for a given maturity, let's say 5 years or 10 years or 20 years out, you'd determine what those securities are offering you in terms of a yield, right?
Right.
So if let's say, do you actually have a yield in your mind for a particular maturity, Rob, that we can try to put on the wall here?
I don't know the Treasury yields.
Okay. Well, let's say that you're looking 10 years out and Treasury yields at that point are 2.5%. I don't have that memorized. Let's also say that a 10-year Treasury inflation-protected security has a yield of 1%. Well, the difference between 2.5 and 1 would be 1.5%. That difference is what traditional investors, by investing in traditional treasuries, are implying that they expect inflation to be, because they need to be compensated for that inflation. So then, as a Treasury inflation-protected securities investor, you would look at that and decide which way to go. So why don't you try to pick that up and go through that decision-making process a little bit, Rob?
Yeah. I was reading an iShares article this morning about how Treasury inflation-protected securities are right now pricing in about 2.5% or 2.25% inflation going forward from this point, where earlier in 2009 they were pricing in around 0% inflation. And the article is making the point that if you expect inflation to be higher than 2.5%, which is about the historical average of it, then you would want to buy the TIPS. But if you expected it to be lower, then you would want to buy the regular.
Take the traditional one.
Right.
Because if you strip out the amount of interest that you're going to get on the inflation-protected security from the traditional one, you're going to have some amount left over.
Right.
If you think the inflation rate's going to be higher than that, then I guess you gravitate towards the TIP. And if you expect it to be lower than that, you just buy the traditional security and get paid more than what you need to be paid.
Right.
That's the bottom line there. So anyway, that kind of wraps it up with respect to the TIPS. If you have any questions about bonds in general or inflation-linked securities, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to spend a few minutes with you on the phone and try to put some sense to those numbers that we just gave you. Our number is 232-2000. Just give us a call and we'd be glad to try to walk you through that. What do you have next, Rob?
Well, I think we were going to be discussing insured bonds. We had a question on what those were versus uninsured municipal bonds.
All right. So someone had a question about that. That's a fair question. In general, when you buy bonds, they're backed by the credit quality of whatever entity issues it, which is the whole allure of the treasuries, is because they're backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which has the ability to create money to back that obligation. With other entities, though, you don't have that absolute guarantee. So in the municipal bond market, for instance, it's very common that investors will purchase municipal bonds with certain tax advantages and to eliminate any credit risk that might be associated with the municipality defaulting. They'll ask a third-party insurance company to guarantee the repayment of that debt, right?
Yes.
So what are the companies that do that?
It could be AmBac or MGIC, I think, also.
No, MGIC is mortgages, I think. FGIC.
Oh, right.
Okay, Financial Guarantee Insurance Company or Corporation is one insurer.
Mm-hmm.
AmBac, let's try to parse that acronym for our listeners. I think it's American Municipal Bond Assurance Corporation, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
And the other one is MBIA, which is Municipal Bond Insurance Association, I think. Something like that. So there are a few primary insurers, and I think you were telling me that...
I think Berkshire is getting into the game.
Right. So there could be other insurers as well. But in general, what the insurance company does is it analyzes the creditworthiness of the entity that's issued the bond. And if that entity is going to be paying, let's say, 4% on a municipal bond, that insurer might skim, let's say, 0.5% right off the top of the interest to compensate it for the guarantee. So you can kind of decide whether it's worth it. A lot of times, if you have a broadly diversified portfolio of decent credit quality instruments, you know the insurance company on average is going to be trying to make money on that premium. So some people forego it, but you could do that.
As an investor, you might pay more for those bonds because people might be buying them more than the uninsured bonds too.
Sure, those bonds I'm sure would have held their values relatively better during the calamitous credit freeze that we had versus uninsured bonds. However, some of the insurance companies, they, even though they're supposed to have AAA ratings, they were having their own financial problems, and the financial guarantees that they were able to provide were not what people thought that they would be.
Well, there were some moral questions, too, that I heard floating around where basically they were thinking that because of that the insurance was out there, that the municipality might be in less of a moral position to want to repay those bonds.
Right. Yeah, the moral hazard. So they're just going to throw it as a put, let's say, to the insurance companies and let them pick it up, which creates public policy problems.
Right.
Anyway, all right, so I think we've taken care of that. What else do you have there?
I think we had been asked to go through a few basic investing concepts. So, for example, what's the difference between dividends versus interest?
All right, that's a fair question. See, we've got about a minute left here. briefly, people do get confused between a dividend and interest. Interest is a contractual obligation that's associated with debt. So a CD, a bond, a promissory note, a mortgage, those are contractual obligations where the borrower must repay contractually some certain amount that comes to the investor in the form of interest. Whereas a dividend is a voluntary disbursement. And you can count on dividends to a certain extent, but not like you can on interest. So anyway, we'll address it more when we get back. I'm Glenn. He's Rob. This is Investor IQ. We're here on WWNC, the Talk of the Mountains. Thanks for joining us.